Broadsword calling Danny Boy, please send more money. They are about to call. Last orders, over.
Moth Hotel.
The train now standing at Platform 3 is the 1225 to Napping Ferret. Calling at Pickled Moon, Slumbering Dog, Wobbly Lantern, Crooked Waffle, Muffin Bog, Muffin Bog Parkway, Tanglefoot Bridge, Denzel Washington, Shivering Knee, and East Bum Fluff. Shoes must be removed before boarding this train.
There's a new object in the museum at Moth Hotel. In the farthest corner of the gallery, under a dim bulb that never quite steadies, stands a chair that resists definition. It measures 90 centimeters tall, its four legs carved from some dark, brittle wood. They look frail, incapable of carrying weight, yet the chair has not collapsed in decades. The seat is upholstered in cracked leather, the sort of leather that seems to have been stretched too tightly across something alive. From time to time, visitors notice a faint movement beneath the surface, a shudder like shallow breathing. When the museum acquired it, the provenance slip was shockingly sparse. Only a single line was typed, without date or signature. It said, recovered from the waiting room. Which waiting room, no one knows. The phrase has become part of the chair's name. Curators have tried to sit in the chair to prove that it is harmless, but each attempt ends the same way. The instant a body lowers toward the cushion, an overwhelming sense of shame wells up. People spring back to their feet, muttering apologies. Thus, the chair has never successfully held a sitter. It remains empty, though the indentations on the cushion suggest otherwise.
Moth Hotel.
Your call is important to us. Please hold while we recalibrate the bureaucracy. This may take anywhere from 3 minutes to the length of the remainder of your life. You are currently number 8 million in the queue. If this is a medical emergency, press 1. If this is a philosophical emergency, press 2, but know that we can only offer partial comfort. If you were hoping to speak to a human being, we regret to inform you that Greg has been promoted to management, and he no longer mans the phones. While you wait, please enjoy the following instructional audio, which is entitled, How to Make Peace with the Endless Spirals of Corporate Delay.
Moth Hotel.
Some folks believe that the Moth Hotel was once a library in which the books were deliberately written without endings. Every volume stopped mid-sentence, sometimes mid-word, leaving the reader permanently unsettled. The intention, according to legend, was to train people in the art of never quite being satisfied. Titles included The Hero Who, A Brief History Of, and How to Build a... Readers would slam these books shut in frustration, only to return the next day, convinced they had somehow missed the conclusion. Some skeptics dismiss this story, noting that, erroneously, unfinished manuscripts are extremely rare. But believers insist that these books contain only intentional gaps, carefully engineered to gnaw at the human mind. One scholar even suggested that the tradition still survives today in cliffhanger television finales. Rumors persist that one final volume remains hidden in the ruins. The complete history of Moth Hotel. It too ends abruptly, but at least offers a tantalizing promise on its final page, which simply reads, To be con.
Everyone talks about legacy, statues, awards, grandchildren. Me? I'm leaving behind a drawer full of unmatched socks. That's immortality. Nobody solves it. You die and your loved ones open the drawer, and there it is, the great unsolved riddle of your existence. Where's the other Argyle? Wow, what happened to the wool one with the hole? And suddenly you've remembered. Not for speeches or conquests, but for the chaos in cotton. Socks are the true headstone.
Since discovery of the time machine in the linen cupboard, the housekeeping logbook at Moth Hotel has developed unusual entries. Among the usual complaints, guest left tap running, mints missing from minibar, there's now the following message. Tuesday replaced pillowcases in 1847. Management pretends not to notice, but the staff whisper in the service corridors. One maid reported returning from her break to find her trolley full of bedsheets, all stitched with initials she didn't recognize in a style nobody's used since the 1920s. When she unfolded one, it smelled faintly of coal smoke and horse sweat. She turned around, and her trolley was gone. Later, the linen reappeared in the cupboard, neatly folded, and the embroidered initials had gone, except for one pillowcase. Someone had scrawled in black marker across it, "Don't come back here, we're watching you." Last night, a guest insisted he saw a figure step out of the cupboard, check the hotel fire map, and then walk through the wall. Security reviewed the footage. There was nothing, only the cupboard door, opening slightly, as if it had exhaled.
Welcome to Dial M for Merlot with Melton Thornaby. Today's guest wine is Vega Sicilia Unico 2009, a Tempranillo so venerable it could be knighted. Spain's grandest offering, designed for bullfighters and their creditors. The nose is dried figs, left to sulk in a churchyard. There's charred wood, too, a smell like an abandoned bullring after rain. And somewhere in the background, iodine tablets muttering softly. I'm tasting leather, undoubtedly, like sucking the pommel of a saddle after a hard day's gallop. There is plum, but it is bruised, and cherry that carries dark secrets. Hints of paprika, cigar ash, and the unmistakable tang of boiled sock. One encounters a stern earthiness, as though the wine itself is built from Spanish topsoil, dust, heat, melancholy. The tannins grind like millstones, leaving one's tongue flattened yet curiously grateful. The finish is stern, majestic, faintly authoritarian. It lingers like an unwanted telegram from Madrid. One sips again and feels chastised yet curiously proud. The dog's cojones.
Cook alone, but never feel alone with Whisper Pan. The only nonstick frying pan that murmurs gentle encouragement while you fry. Cooking tips, memories, chirpy anecdotes, and oddly specific sexual innuendo. All from a heat-resistant pan that will never leave you cooking by yourself. Whisper Pan, because no one should ever cook alone.
I'm having the biscuit dreams again. Last night I was queuing. A long line. Hundreds of us, everyone clutching a single biscuit. No one spoke. The air smelled of tinned pears and gilt. At the front of the queue was a booth. Inside sat a man in an apron, face blank as uncooked dough. One by one, people placed their biscuit on the counter. He weighed it, judged it, and then either nodded or pressed a hidden button. If he nodded, the person in the queue vanished. If he pressed the button, they still vanished. But differently. My turn came. I had a caramel wafer. I don't know why. I don't even like them. The man looked at me, then at the biscuit, then at me again. And he said, "Interesting." I woke up immediately. There was a caramel smell on my pillow, and the faint sound of wrapping paper rustling.
Capricorn, you will experience a moment of profound clarity today while eating toast. Unfortunately, the feeling will fade just before you take a second bite. A forgotten promise will circle back into your mind, wearing a new face and asking for a cup of tea. Numbers may feel unreliable today. Trust symbols instead. Cameron Diaz is watching. She likes what you've done with the place since her last visit.
Hello, it's me again. I have wrestled exactly 3 crocodiles in my life. 2 were metaphorical encounters in Bavaria. The 3rd was in France near a vineyard. It was not a planned event. The crocodile escape from a traveling zoo. I subdued it with an authoritative tone. It later sent me a Christmas card. During a blackout in New York City, I directed an off-Broadway production of Look Back in Anger using only candlelight, mime, and existential dread. We performed for 97 straight hours. There were no tickets, no intermission, no applause, just damp silence and the occasional sob. A pigeon wandered in halfway through and stayed until the final bow. I considered that a good omen. People ask me, what is real? And I tell them, reality is a cooperative hallucination we maintain to avoid screaming into the abyss. Then I smile politely and offer them a biscuit. So, yes, I make films about dinosaurs, but that is only one layer. Underneath, there is the man who once tried to grow moss on a typewriter, who made friends with a snail that lived in his boot, who still believes that silence is just the world waiting to be written down. And those are the facts.
Here is a list of today's archaeological finds unearthed in the grounds of the Moth Hotel. A drinking bowl from the Iron Age. A half-melted piece of cheddar cheese shaped like a human face. A guest list for a party that never occurred. A marble paperweight in the shape of a turtle. A hairbrush with bristles pointing in the wrong direction. A dining room chair with legs of 4 different lengths. A photograph of Dame Maggie Smith. A small box containing a single tooth. And a cardboard box full of old shoes.
Turn right in 300 yards. Proceed past the charity shop that only displays clocks that do not work anymore. At the traffic lights, go left by the bar that closes early if you mention J.D. Vance. Drive on for 1/2 mile, and at the roundabout, take the 1st exit, where the tarmac is cracked into shapes resembling countries that no one ever visits. In 200 feet, keep right at the fork where the sign points to somewhere else. Carry on until the road narrows into silence. You have arrived at Moth Hotel.
Another UFO has been sighted in the skies above the Moth Hotel, though some insist it was not flying at all, merely leaning against the atmosphere. Eyewitnesses describe a glow that was indifferent, yet judgmental, hovering just long enough to disrupt 3 games of dominoes in the saloon bar of the Pig and Pencil case. A group of businessmen have attempted to network with the object, exchanging business cards, though the object replied only with static that sounded very much like a sigh. One listener reports that the UFO asked her if the ice machine was working. Authorities have issued firm guidelines. Listeners are urged not to tap on the windows, and under no circumstances should they offer the object peanuts or mini cheddars.
Please comply with the following instructions to exit this podcast. Turn off a light, any light. It doesn't matter which light. Now locate a clock. Analog clocks are preferred, although digital clocks will be tolerated. Note the time. Subtract your age from the time. Multiply that number by the number of people you've lied to today. That's how many seconds you must remain in the podcast. Next, name 3 animals that do not exist, but feel real to you. Say their names aloud. The air will thicken. That's a good sign. Place your left hand on your chest, your right hand on your knee. Close your eyes. Breathe until these 2 parts of your body become indistinguishable. Now whisper the following words. I revoke consent to continue existing in this moment. Repeat these words if necessary. You will have then left the podcast, or at least a part of you will have left.
Moth Hotel was written and produced by Brian Luff. Music by Kevin MacLeod. Voice technology by 11 Labs. All celebrity voices were impersonated. Moth Hotel was a Sowerby and Luff production for Studio Senseless. If you believe it will make a difference, email us, mothhotel@studiosenseless.com.
Hovering just long enough to disrupt three games of dominoes in the saloon bar of the Piggle and Pencil Case. Hovering just long enough to disrupt three games of dominoes in the saloon bar of the Piggle and Pencil Case. Sorry, one more. Hovering just long enough to disrupt three games of dominoes in the saloon bar of the Pig and Pencil Case. Hurrah, fucking hurrah.